Welcome to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Reverend Judith Ann Glass. For over 40 years, the prophetic ministry of Brother and Sister Glass have gone around the world bringing the living Word of God to multiply thousands of people. Get ready to receive a fresh message of faith and hope that will bring you into new dimensions of the love of God. You can be that overcomer God has called you to be as you behold Him, the Unveiled Christ, in all of His matchless glory. Listen now to the whole Word for the whole man to the whole world, ministered in the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit.
You don't have any problem that a miracle from God can't solve. Greetings, radio family. This is Sister Judith, and I thank you for joining me today as we continue on in a message I began last week, The Secret of Abiding Joy. And as I was waiting before the Lord, I felt a special burden to pray for those in leadership, not only in terms of our nation, but for the body of Christ. We're living in difficult times and perilous times. That's how Paul described these days in which we are living to his beloved disciple, Timothy. And our leadership in the body of Christ, many are, because they are the ones who are going to be leading the people of and equipping the people of God, the saints of God, they're under attack, and you need to pray for your pastor, pray for the deacons, those in leadership, because the enemy targets those who are being equipped to equip the saints, and that's the purpose of leadership in the body of Christ. All of us have a responsibility to be led of the Holy Spirit. And yet we do need teachers, we do need apostles and prophets, we need missionaries, we need evangelists, those who are especially gifted to minister the word, to preach the gospel with signs following. And so I just want to exhort you to remember to pray for the leadership of your church, wherever God has you, whether it's a large congregation or small, that we need strong leaders in the body of Christ to fulfill God's plan for this season of time in which we are in. There is a time, the last final great harvest. People have ministered about that, prophets have prophesied. We know that many great men and women of God who are now with the Lord have spoken of the times in which we're living. So we need to pray for them. But right now, let me pray with you for your own walk in God and however God would lead. Father, we thank you, Lord, for the privilege of joining together in prayer. And Lord, I thank you that you have given us mighty weapons, spiritual weapons. They are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Father, I thank you for that offensive weapon, the Word of God, that Word of God which Jesus used in his conflicts with the evil one. We see that very clearly outlined as the devil came to tempt Jesus in the wilderness after a 40-day fast. Father, we thank you that he was our example, so we know the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. And Lord, also we thank you for the shield of faith. Lord, that faith which will quench not some, but all of the fiery darts of the wicked one. And so, Father, we thank you for the faith of God and the Word of God, Lord, which enables us to go forth strong and being more than conquerors in Christ Jesus. Thank you now, Lord, for ministering to your people. I take authority over every attack, whether it's spiritual, emotional, physical, financial, circumstantial, and I release the provision and the victory of God in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Praise God. We have been looking at one of the books of the minor prophets, and what we see in the book of Habakkuk, he was hearing the word of the Lord. He was declaring God's word to his generation, and we know it was a difficult word to declare because this was just before the invasion of Judah by the Chaldeans. It was probably around the end of the 7th century. He was a contemporary of Jeremiah, and that natural catastrophe, which was extraordinarily significant, which was the deportation to Babylon, It was announced by the prophet, and it was a disaster. It was the same thing that Jeremiah was declaring in the word of the Lord. And he was wrestling with many things. He didn't understand how unpunished evil could go on in the world. He trusted God. There were many things he didn't understand. And so those first two chapters are mainly composed of a dialogue between the prophet and Jehovah. And the prophet is complaining about the violence, the sin that he sees on every hand. And then God's reply was that, well, yes, that iniquity was going to be punished in terms of the Chaldeans, a swift and terrible instrument of judgment upon wicked nations. And he had a problem, of course, how could God use nations more evil than what was going on in Judah to punish a people more righteous than they? But God assures him that the purposes of God are going to be fulfilled. He encourages him to wait for it. So where we left off, let's go now to the third chapter. And there he is describing the greatness of God. And of course, in the opening of that third chapter, he said, "I've heard thy speech, and I was afraid, O Lord." And he says, "Revive thy work in the midst of the years. In the midst of the years, make known. In wrath, remember mercy." And so, as he goes on in that chapter, we see majestic language praising God for not only his person, but his power and his purposes. And he dramatically describes the appearance of God, accompanied by awesome features of a violent storm. He talks about pestilences and burning coals and burning diseases, referencing what God did and as he poured out his wrath upon the Egyptians. The opening of the Red Sea, it brought salvation, and the parting of the Jordan brought deliverance as they entered into the promised land. He remembers the things that God had done, how the Lord subdued nations before Israel as they went into Canaan and occupied it. He describes how God gave the land to the tribes of Israel, even causing the sun and moon to stand still. And of course, that's a reference to Joshua when he prayed and he said, "Sun, stand still." I mean, God hearkened to the voice of a man. And if God, the reason, why was he doing this? And that is, of course, a reminder of what we should do when we are in difficult times, remembering what God has done in our own lives and the answers to prayer. If God had so wondrously wrought deliverance out of Egypt, wouldn't he do it again to bring them out of Babylon? And for us, of course, that analogy is clear. And so where we are now in that third chapter, when he thinks about judgment, when we, you know, think about even the times in which we're living, things have come to pass that we would never have believed we would have experienced. And for those of us who are up in years, you know, if you're born in the 30s or 40s or 50s, to see the kinds of things we have seen in this nation, cities burning and violence in the streets, things we would never have thought of when we were younger. Yet his emotions, he said, let me read verse 16, and I'm sure we can relate to it. When I heard, my belly trembled, my lips quivered at the voice. Rottenness entered into my bones, and I trembled in myself, that I might rest in the day of trouble. When he cometh up unto the people, he will invade them with his troops. And then that verse, I want to read it in verse 17 and 18, because this is very powerful. He says, although the fig tree shall not blossom, neither shall fruit be in the vines, the labor of the olive shall fail, and the fields shall yield no meat, the flock shall be cut off from the fold, and there shall be no herd in the stalls. Yet, verse 18, I will rejoice in the Lord, I will joy in the God of my salvation. And let me read verse 19. The Lord God is my strength, and he will make my feet like hinds' feet, and he will make me to walk upon mine high places. You know, in that verse 16, when he was describing how he was feeling physically and emotionally, the thought of the things that were coming in his own experience to the people of God, he was speaking as a natural man, and yet the strength and vitality of the spiritual man surged through his soul, and his faith triumphs in confidence in the Lord. Although everything around him, the fig tree was not going to blossom, the harvest was going to wither, sheep and cattle were going to die, though everything in the physical and material was failing him, yet, beloved, faith in God cannot. And beloved, that is the response to the evil times that are coming upon the face of the earth. Those beginning of sorrows that Jesus talked about, wars, rumors of wars, famines, pestilences, the things that we're experiencing in our own lifetimes, the things we're hearing in the evening news. Habakkuk says plainly, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. And beloved, that is the secret of abiding joy, the joy that cannot be taken away from us, that remains. Beloved, the Christian has joy. And what we want to do in these broadcasts this week, we want to learn how can we walk through the times in which we're living to have the kind of joy that the prophet was describing. And it is all found, as for him, for us, in the Lord Jesus Christ, our strength. He will cause us to mount, we'll be able to be spiritually strong no matter what is going on around us. And this is a secret, this is a joy most devoutly to be desired. Amen and amen. Well, we're going to be looking at that in succeeding broadcasts. I pray you will join us at the same time. If any time you miss a broadcast, feel free to go to our website, unveilchrist.org. You can click on the broadcast and you can listen anytime at your convenience. But beloved, there's also a spiritual principle of agreeing prayer. And if you're going through difficult times, the Lord wants us to be specific. You may not have a partner in prayer that you can agree with. So I invite you to write. The announcer will give you our contact information. If you email, I invite you to share your mailing address so that I can respond personally to you. Although I will always confirm receipt and pray. I love you. And until tomorrow, this is Sister Glass. Say, may God's best forever be yours is my prayer.
You're listening to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast. Thank you for joining us. You're invited to write Sister Glass at P.O. Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. That's Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. You're also invited to visit our website, unveiledchrist.org. You can learn more about Unveiled Christ there, as well as email Sister Glass. Again, that's unveiledchrist.org. And please remember as you write that your prayers for this ministry are greatly valued, and your tax-deductible gifts of support enable us to keep this radio program on the air. Thank you for joining us today. Until next time, God bless.